Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. My father-in-law and I are remodeling a laundry room for our family. Eight people, they produce a lot of dirty clothes. We had to reroute the dryer vent. We had to shift some of the electrical work around. I had to hire a plumber to redirect the water in the drains. We still need to put in the flooring, hang the drywall, mud and texture paint, and install the upper and lower cabinets. My wife had a functioning laundry room on Wednesday. On Thursday, she did not. And I should really be working on it, but it's Easter. I have worship services and sermons to write. My father-in-law is visiting somebody else out of town. I don't know when I'm going to work on this laundry room remodel. It's Easter. You know, it makes me wonder. Whose bright idea was it to start a laundry room remodel during Holy Week? Now, I want to begin with a confession. I am really awesome at starting projects. But I'm not very good at finishing them. But now that we are committed, I've got to finish this project. Yes, this is a shameless plug. Come over to my house. Put together my laundry room. I guess it would be true to say that my father-in-law and I, we have some unfinished business to attend to. The term unfinished business means that it's something that a person needs to deal with or something that a person needs to work on. I have a laundry room that needs to be dealt with. I have a laundry room that needs to be worked on. I have got to get that laundry room finished or we are going to run out of clothes to wear. And that is not a good thing. I have some unfinished business that needs attending to. And the same was true for the women who went to Jesus' tomb early that morning. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, yes, the same Nicodemus from John chapter 3, they had taken Jesus off of the cross and they placed him in the tomb. They wrapped his body in fine linens along with 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe. That's described for us at the end of John chapter 19. Now, I also want to point out to you a verse from Luke chapter 23, verse 54, that says this. It was preparation day. And the Sabbath was about to begin. Now, as Pastor Doug described for us in worship on Thursday, their clocks weren't like our clocks. Their days were different than our days. Our days begin and end at 12 midnight. But their days ended when the sun went down, and that's when the day began. It was Sabbath at sunset, and it was against the law to work on the Sabbath. And so we get this sense that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, along with the women, they are racing against the clock to get the work of Jesus into the tomb accomplished. They have to get the work done before the sun goes down. Before the Sabbath begins. Now, I'm still reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 55 through 56. The women who had come with him, meaning Jesus, from Galilee, followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. The women had unfinished business. They didn't have time to give Jesus a proper burial. They were up against the clock, and the clock won. They had barely gotten Jesus into the tomb when the Sabbath struck. They would have to return after the Sabbath to complete and finish the work. They had unfinished business. So that's why Mark chapter 16, verse 1, begins with these words. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. The marketplace had reopened. The 24-hour Sabbath was complete. The women could resume their work and purchase the remaining spices needed to properly embalm Jesus' lifeless body. They would meet very early in the morning, as early as humanly possible. Why? Why did the women meet so early that day? Because every moment mattered. They were racing against the clock to get their beloved Jesus cared for his rest in the tomb. That's reason number one. But reason number two is this. They wanted to work early in the morning, right? We can empathize with that. We want to get our hard work done before the sun comes out so that we can do our work in the cool of the day. Plus, they were dealing with a dead body. It would be better to work with a dead body in the cool of the morning. And so it's no surprise to us that according to verse 2, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun was risen, they went to the tomb. I wonder what that journey sounded like as they walked toward the tomb. Could they still hear in their mind the sound of the nails? The sound of the nails etched onto their minds forever. Could they still hear the voice of Jesus as he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Could they see the cross in the distance? Did they walk directly past the cross? Because we know that the tomb was in the same garden. Did they talk to one another? Did they say anything at all? Did they wonder, where are the disciples? Where did they go? Did they keep the rumor mill going about Judas and what had happened to him? Maybe they sang psalms. Maybe they sang those Psalms of David in a hope to get some type of temporary comfort. They had unfinished business they were attending to. Now, the second piece of unfinished business that pops up is that they suddenly remember the stone. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" This was a large stone, as Dan just taught us. It was a large stone. It was a large tomb. It was a large entrance. You see, poor people had a smaller tomb, which would require a smaller stone. But wealthy people like Joseph of Arimathea, he had a large tomb with a large entrance and required a large stone. And the women were not equipped. They were not strong enough to roll away the stone themselves. Here's another example of unfinished business. And I don't blame them. Their minds were on spices. Their minds were on Jesus. their minds were wondering about the disciples. I don't blame them if they didn't remember about the stone. Now, maybe you remember from one of the other Gospels, Matthew specifically. Matthew tells us that there was a guard stationed at the tomb. Remember, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they went to Pilate, and they were worried that those disciples, those pesky disciples, were going to come and steal Jesus' body and then claim that he had risen from the dead. And so Pilate ordered that a guard be placed at the tomb and that the tomb be sealed. But the women didn't know that the guard was there. Remember what Matthew chapter 28 says. It says that the guards, they were shaken with fear, and they fell like dead men. Why? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, John chapter 20 gives us a hint as to why the women might have continued to the tomb instead of going back to seek help. You see, John chapter 20 says that Mary Magdalene supposed that there would be a gardener in the tomb that day. So maybe the women assumed that there would be a gardener there that could help them roll the stone away. It was unfinished business. They hadn't fully prepared for the work that they needed to do that day. They hadn't thought through every final detail. And look, I've been there. I know exactly what that's like, and you probably do too. It was several years ago that our family went camping one particular weekend. We had just gotten a different camper, and we were so excited to get out there and be in God's creation. So we loaded up the camper, and we locked it up, and we headed out. It was about 3 hours away from home. And when we got into the parking spot, I mean, I parked that baby beautifully, right? And as I got proudly out of the truck, my wife looked at me and said, "Did you bring the keys for the camper?" To which I said, "No." They were still on the countertop, but we were 3 hours away, and I was unwilling to drive back home to get the keys. So what did we do? I got a saw, and I cut a hole in the side of our camper big enough for Jenna to crawl through. And Jenna crawled through and unlocked the door. I'm not proud to say that that hole is still there. Unfinished business. It happens to all of us. But you can imagine the women's shock when they got to the tomb and the stone had already been rolled away. Listen to me. Listen to me. Wake up. They were wondering who is going to do the work while the work had already been done for them. Now look at verse 4. "And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large." Now they don't want to waste a single moment. They rush in and they discover a young man, an angel, sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe. Picture a really, really shiny acolyte. That's what they're seeing. Now, I want to take a very brief detour for just a second, and I want to talk about this question. Why was the stone rolled away? Have you ever wondered that? Why was the stone removed? Now, you might immediately think that the stone was rolled away because Jesus, who was risen, needed to get out. Really? I mean, some of you maybe think that, right? That's what I thought. But that doesn't make any sense. Jesus, who is now risen from the dead, who turned water into wine, who healed the sick and the blind and the lame, now he needs help getting out of the tomb? Anybody out there? "I'm risen from the dead. Just if you could roll the stone away, that'd be helpful. Thanks. I'd appreciate it." No, the stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that the women could get in. The women needed to be eyewitnesses to the risen Christ. He is risen. Now look at what the angel says. The angel says this to the women in verses 6 and 7. Are your eyes here? Are you paying attention? And the angel said to the women, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Verse 7, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Unfinished business. The angel says there's still work to be done. You cannot stay here. You've got to go. You've got to go and tell. Unfinished business. The women are supposed to tell the disciples. The women are supposed to tell Peter. Yes, that Peter. That same Peter who had denied Christ 3 times. The women are commanded to go and tell. So are you. So am I. Just like the women, we today have experienced the empty tomb. It's not an option to keep this good news to ourselves. We have a responsibility. We have a command, just like the women did, to go and to tell. You cannot leave this business unfinished. This business is too important to leave unfinished. Why? Put yourselves in the sandals of the disciples for just a moment. We don't know where they are. They're hiding. They're cowering in fear. They're afraid. Maybe they're wondering, they crucified Jesus, maybe we're next. Might as well crucify the disciples too. They are in the corner afraid because of the death of Jesus. The women need to go and tell them that Jesus is risen from the dead. The women need to give them the hope and the assurance that they are not defined by their mistakes, but that they are defined by the risen Christ. You know, sin had the same effect on us. The sin in our life, along with a sentence, which was death, had you and me hiding in fear. Our sin left us eternally embarrassed. Our sin left us scared. We were hiding in a corner. We were abandoned, we thought. But someone came along and told us what Jesus had done for us. He died the death that we deserved. He rose from the grave so that his resurrection could be our resurrection. Someone told us about Jesus, and now we have an unfinished business. We have a responsibility to tell others. So let's return to our text and see how the women did. Verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb. That's a good start. For trembling and astonishment had seized them. We couldn't blame them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The women at the tomb allowed fear to control whether or not they would obey the angel's command to go and tell. And we're so much like the women, aren't we? We're so much like the women at the tomb. In fact, the very fact that I've been spending the last few moments talking about our responsibility to go and tell others about Jesus, it's got a few of us sweating at the forehead, right? that's got a few of us sweating at the upper lip at the thought of going to a friend or a family member and to initiate a conversation with them about Jesus. In fact, think about this. In fact, next Sunday, in fact, in 7 short days from right now, in 7 days, there could be twice as many people here in worship. Why? Because if we obey the command of the angel and you know from the Lord, if we obey the command from the angel and we go out of this place and tell others about the risen Christ, they might come here to worship him like you and I have done today. Next Sunday, Holy Cross's attendance could be twice as large so that they might worship the risen Christ. Do not be like the women. Do not be like the women and allow fear to keep you from telling others about Jesus Christ. But rather, by the Holy Spirit that lives in you, go and tell. Now, I want to briefly circle back around to one point. Before I leave this text today, I want to say again one thing that I said 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, I said these words. You can imagine the women's shock when they looked up and the stone had already been rolled away. And then I reminded you, they were wondering who's going to do the work while the work had already been done for them. Our sin demanded, required, that a price would be paid. Death had to occur because of our sin. We were wandering around and we were wondering who's going to do the work? Who's going to pay the price that I can't because of my sin? On the cross, from the tomb, our debt was paid. The debt was paid. Your debt was paid. We've been spending all morning talking about unfinished business, but Christ finished the business on our behalf. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is risen. Amen.